Well, good morning, everyone. It's really glad to see each of you here. I want to ditto on what's already been said, and that last week I was really anticipating such a great time and a good meal, and you all did not let me down. I really enjoyed that. It was a good time that we had, and we're glad for everyone that participated, provided, and joined us in this holiday meal that we had last week. So I was blessed by it. Hope you were as well. But before we had this fantastic meal last week, we started a look at a church doctrine called church membership. And some people will even argue if it's a church doctrine or not, because you can't find church membership in the Bible. And we talked about that last week. If you open your Bible, regardless of the translation you use, you're not going to find the word church membership in there at all. So we had to look and say, is it even scriptural? It does. If the Bible is not mentioning church membership, what are we to do with it? Well, through the bulletin last week, I provided you with an insert, because there's so many scriptures that I believe pertain to church membership. And we looked at those, and we looked at the way in which the Bible describes church membership without even using the words. Seeing that we are to come together, number one, as believers, coming together as a local body, serving through the mission of the church for the glory of God. And so we saw that in Scripture, that was indeed God's plan A, right? And we saw that, like I say, there was a lot of Scripture that I provided for you, but I couldn't put all the Scripture on there because I got more sermons yet. I need another Scripture to talk about. So today we're going to begin. We will be bouncing around like we did last week on a couple of other Scriptures as well, but we'll start out in Matthew chapter 6 and that famous passage of the Lord's Prayer that we all have memorized. Matthew 6 is where we're going to start. And today we're going to continue our look at church membership. And we've determined that it indeed is scriptural. But today we're going to look at the philosophy behind being a church member. And what is a church member? What's it all about? So we're going to look through our text this morning. We're going to see the various scriptures, and we're going to talk about what is a church member. Now, we could think of the church as a club, right? And there's a bunch of clubs that we have out there, right? There's initiations, there's dues, right, for most of your clubs. There's the country club. All right, you get to go play golf when you want to. You've got tractor pulling clubs, right? If you're going to pull tractors, you got to be a part of a certain club, right? There's athletic clubs where you have to be in a club in order to be a true UK fan, right? Cass pulled one out last night. Don't know how that happened, but they looked good from what I understand. I was watching football instead, but hey, in order to be a true fan, you got to be a part of the Big Blue Nation, right? You got to be a part of that club. But there's the Rutan Club, right? Y'all know about the Rutan Club and how involved they are in our community. There's a lot of clubs out there. And there's some pretty weird clubs out there. Let's just say that you were pronounced dead, but in fact, you're actually alive. You could actually join the Utter Perdish Club. Okay, you can sit around with other people that were pronounced dead but are actually alive, and you can talk about it. There's a club out there for that. There's also a club called the Strong Minority Club out there that is people that have been denied acceptance into another club, so they join this club in order to talk about the club that denied them acceptance. There's hundreds and thousands and millions of clubs out there. So is the church a club? No, the church is not a club. A club is something you wish to join. You initiate the act of joining a particular club. The church, you're called into the church. Amen. It is something that we don't want. God, through the Holy Spirit, enlist our souls, and we begin to believe, we begin to worship, we begin to grow in our faith, we trust Jesus Christ for salvation, and we become a part of the church. Now, there's two ways in which the Bible, the theological community, across all denominations, describe the church. There is what we call the big capital letter C and then the lowercase c. When we talk about the capital letter C, the big church, it is all believers, nation, tribe, tongue, background, denomination, it doesn't matter. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect sacrifice for your sins, if you trust in Him to forgive you of those sins, and that through His sacrifice that we can be forgiven as well as united with Him for an eternity because He rose again on that third day, then we're considered to be a part of the capital letter C church. So it's not just Cropper Baptist. It's not just whatever church you belong to. It's anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a part of God's church. And we call it the ecumenical church. Then you got the lowercase c church. That's Cropper Baptist. That's your local church. It's whatever denomination, whatever area that you go to, that individual building that you go to. Now, let me clarify again. Who's the church?
We are.
I didn't hear you. Who's the church?
We are.
Let's try it one more time. Who's the church?
We are.
That's right. It's not the building. It's not the property. It's not the denomination. It's you as individuals coming together as a believer, uniting together in one building, worshiping in one accord to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So we are the church. We make up this church. We are a local body. We come here in order to serve God through the mission of the church and to grow through discipleship with one another. So, we are the lowercase c church, part of the capital C church of God. Well, if we're not a club, aren't we an organization? An organization out there, if you remember back, let me just cut to the chase. Back in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we did a sermon way back then. And in that sermon, we talked about how we are not an organization. We are an organism. We are a people. We are alive. We are growing. We are breathing. We are doing things. An organization simply comes together for the purpose of sustaining itself. The country club is an organization. They want you to pay your dues like a club in order to continue to be a country club. We are an organism. We are alive. We are breathing. We are active. And we are wanting to reproduce ourselves. A plant that's of some kind of fruit that has a seed. And that seed produces another like plant when given the chance. We are alive. We are wanting to reproduce ourselves. So we're not a club and we're not an organization. How would we define ourselves? Well, I'm glad you asked. We get part of our answer in Matthew chapter 6 from the Lord's Prayer. Beginning in verse 9, Jesus tells them, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Heavenly Father, we trust this message to you. We trust our time together to you. We trust that our minds and our hearts and our thoughts be distraction free so that we can see your word as you intended it to be. And we ask that it penetrate and accomplish your will. Despite me, a fallible man, Lord God, may your word ring true and may we see as you have us to see. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we get a hint of where we're going today when in verse 10 where he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So basically, what is church membership all about? We hinted toward it a little bit last week. We said that we are a family. That whenever a man meets woman and they become interested, they begin to spend time together, they start talking and talk about being married, you begin to meet the family of this person that you're interested in, and you begin to weigh up the options. Do I really want to marry this person? Because I got to deal with the extended family, right? That's not always the case. Love conquers all things. Amen? If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. You take the good with the bad sometimes, right? But seriously, that is a part of what you get. You get that extended family. And joining a church is that you're doing that sort of same thing. You're joining a group of people that's actually outside of your family. You're coming in and you're welcoming them in, and you are now actually becoming a family to them. My in-laws are not my in-laws, they're my family, right? And sometimes they aggravate me, but I'm sure I aggravate them as well, right? It just happens that way. And that's the way a church is. There's certain things you do with your family. You share things. You grow together. You encourage one another. You do your part of supporting them and all that they're doing. When the time comes, you rebuke them. You exhort them, right? You correct them because you want them to be better. You want them to grow. You want them to have the best life possible. And that's the same thing we do with the church. When we're sitting in a pew, we come together with one like mind because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're wanting that fullness to be in each one, sitting across the aisle, sitting behind, sitting in front. It doesn't matter. We're coming here together for the purpose of all of us growing together in faith and trust and knowing who Jesus Christ is and becoming like Him as we step out into the world in order to make a difference for Him. That's our goal. That's what we come together for. And we don't have to be blood related in order to do that. This is the picture of what we're getting whenever we see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we love and support, encourage, care for, rebuke, exhort, and we grow with our family. But this is a picture of what we get when we get to heaven. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it tells us every tribe, every tongue, and every nation will be in heaven together. Everyone. We can't be prejudiced. We can't hold back. We can't just put ourselves with just a certain group, because we're going to be surrounded by everybody that's out there and all who will believe. As members of the capital letter C, we are a part of God's kingdom. And Jesus is the King of this kingdom. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he tells us, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus has that authority. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is our Jesus. He's the ruler. He's the King. And Jesus is bringing all believers together in heaven. I had a colleague. I got to thinking about him as I was preparing this sermon. It's been a long time since I talked to my buddy. But he had, in his earlier years, before becoming a minister, had went through a divorce. And it evidently, without knowing many of the details, was kind of a heated divorce, if you will. And now they're both believers. They're both very active in their churches. And they're keeping in contact just enough, you know, that they know this about each other. And I remember him telling me, he said, "There come a time in my life that I had to think to myself that I'm going to spend an eternity with her. I probably ought to figure out how to get along with her here on earth." And that's what we're doing. This is a picture of what it's going to be. We are almost somewhat practicing what it's going to be like in heaven here on earth. We come together as believers because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's changed us from what we were to who we are now in order for us to be better people. And He's got other people that He's brought to us, and through our like minds, through our shared interests, we are now growing together as we will when we get to heaven. And this is a picture of what Jesus is trying to tell us back in Matthew chapter 6. But until then, to capitalize even further, the rest of Matthew chapter 6 in that Lord's Prayer, we can see in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul tells us, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, just one page over in my Bible, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. He's got this kingdom language that he's presenting to us here. And we're seeing that we are not citizens of this world. We are seeing that we are not where we belong. Amen? We can understand that our goal is to be in the very presence of God for an eternity. That we're here for a little while. And as I've ministered for a number of years, and I've talked with people that are of the older generation, they will ask the question, and we talked about it in Sunday school last week, and that, I don't know why God's keeping me here. You know, you've heard people ask that question before, or you've even asked it yourself maybe. Why is God keeping me here? Okay, because he's got a plan for us. We realize that because we're still here, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go and be with Jesus because this is where I belong, up there with God in a capital C church. I'm to be with him. Now, I'm not to be here. So as believers, as the capital C church, we are now citizens of heaven, but we're still on earth. What's Paul talking about? We are citizens in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's the best illustration that I can come up with regarding this is like an embassy. An embassy is an area in a foreign country that the United States sets up shop. So I was in Germany in the army, and I know what it feels like to be out of country for a period of time. And being over there, the culture's different, the language is different. You don't know too many people except for whoever you're in the unit with, right? And you go out on town and you try to do things in the marketplace. You try to fit in somewhat to engage the culture there, but you're just not from here, right? When I'm in Germany, I'm just not from Germany. But the embassy there in Germany is that if something was to happen to me, I'm a citizen of the United States, but I find myself in Germany. And let's just say I lost my passport. I just can't go anywhere in Germany at this point because I have no identification. Nothing to prove. I can't go and say I'm Roger's son, and they're like, oh yeah, well come on in, like I can around here, right? We can't say, well, I'm from Kentucky, and then be able to do what we need. We got to have some sort of identification. If we lose that in Germany, it's even multiplied because we can't even explain what's going on because they don't understand us in our own language, right? The embassy in Germany, the United States Embassy, is a place to where I can go and I can talk to people. The embassy in Germany, however big that building is, I've never been there, thank goodness I never had to go. But however big that building is in Germany, the United States Embassy sits on that parcel of ground is actually U.S. soil. I make it to the embassy, I walk in that door, I'm in a safe place. I've got people that understands my language. They've got the systems and ability to look up and find out exactly who I am. They can issue me a new passport. It's a safe place that I want to go, right? So that mindset, that idea for us that if we're citizens of heaven, but we're still here on earth, is almost if we are living in a foreign land here. And we can almost relate with that somewhat, right? As believers. People don't get our jokes, or we don't like the jokes they say. We don't watch the TV they watch. We don't do the things they do on the weekends. It's hard for us to get along. My kids growing up as preacher's kids, going through high school, they didn't get invited to the parties. And they didn't get to do some of the things that other kids did because their dad's not going to let them do that. You see what I'm getting at? So we can almost feel out of place, even here in America. As we feel great here, at least I hope you feel great here. Amen. Somebody give me an amen. We feel great here together. Amen.
Amen.
There we go. Somebody help me out. So what I'm getting at is that when we come together here, it's like an embassy. It's a place to where we can come and we can feel comfortable. We can get what we need here with people who understand who we are and what it is we need. We come here and we trust in one another. We become a family and we grow together through discipleship. We grow in our faith. We grow in our ability and we go out into a foreign world and serve a great God that can help them in their relationship with Jesus Christ as well. Being on mission with the local church in our community, in our state, and in our world. But this is our safe place that we come to. We come here in order to grow and to serve together. So this is the idea that we're getting from Paul from Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. So as citizens of God's capital C church, we are called to join the lowercase c local church. It is the church that we connect with, and we connect with other citizens waiting to go home. But we don't just sit around when we get here. That's not the idea. We don't just come to church once a week in order to feel better about ourselves. This is not God's intent. God does not want the church just to be idle, waiting for that day until He comes and gets His church or He calls us home. That's not His plan. What God intended was for us to be on mission, as I've already said. We're not just waiting. We, according as we just read, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you may have recited this prayer a number of times, right? Most everybody's got it memorized. If I was to start into it, most everybody would be able to join right in with me. But have you thought about this? Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's huge. We want you to show us. We want to obey what it is you want, not what we want, on earth as it is in heaven. We want just a piece of what God has promised us to be alive and real in our lives as we walk day to day in everything that we do. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are acting and living as heavenly citizens in a foreign land through the local church. You say it again. The local church is acting and living as heavenly citizens in a foreign land through the local church. We are the church. And we don't live here. We don't spend 24/7 here. We take what we get here, that growth, that assurance, that confidence, that encouragement that we get from one another, from our family members. We take that growth, that understanding, that encouragement that we receive from the Word of God, and we take it with us, living like heavenly citizens in the world that needs to see it. And it needs to be influenced by who we are in God. So the local church membership is joining a family of believers. Believers who are growing, serving through the church's mission, and caring for each other. Like a family, we hold each other accountable and expect things from each other. And we're going to get into that next week. Just like with all families, there are things that we should expect from one another and things that you should expect from your family. And so we're going to look at that in the depths of what all that means next week. But the church, as I've said a number of times, the church is God's plan A. There is no plan B. God's plan is for you, the church, me, the church, all of us, the church, the believers of the capital C church, to go and make Him known to others, to increase the kingdom, to expand His territory, as the prayer of Jabez tells us. For God's fame and name to be expanded even further. So I ask, first, are you a part of the ecumenical church? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Now, we talked about this in Sunday school. We can admit that we're sinners. And that's easy to do. I can prove it to you real quick if you need. But I think we all are mature enough and understand that we all are sinners. And that that sin separates you from the Lord Jesus Christ. That until something is done about that, you are eternally separated from our Heavenly Father. But for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe upon Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If we admit and we know that we're sinners, and we, through this sin, we want to be fixed. I remember my daughter climbing up in my lap, and I'm thinking that they're too young, but they said, I want to get baptized. In fact, it was, I want to be baptized. This is so young. Like, well, tell me what's going on. I'm broken and I need to be fixed. Amen. Let's get it done. I couldn't think of any way better to say it than just that. I'm broken and I need to be fixed and I need Jesus to do that. He's the only way that's going to fix us. And when we have a faith in Jesus and His perfect person and work here on earth, when we trust in it holistically, we can be saved. We trust in Jesus, ask for forgiveness, He offers that forgiveness, and we have an eternity in heaven through our faith in His person, work, and resurrection. Are you a part of the community church? And the second part of this, are you a part of the local church? You ever feel like you're alone? If you feel like you have no place to turn. So whenever you have issues in your life, you may have a really good friend. A lot of us have a family that we'll call, won't we? We'll call a brother or a cousin or a mom or a dad if we're fortunate to have them. Hey, how's it going today? Oh, pretty good. How's it going with you? Oh, it's not the best day. And just the fact that someone's willing to listen. This is what this church is about. This is what God calls us to come together, to join, to be a part of things, so that we can be together as a family, so that we can be there for one another and know that they're going to be there for us. How many times have you heard people say, I don't know how people make it without having Christ in their life? It's because the church is supporting them in their time of need. The representation of who Jesus Christ is in them is always there for you. Calming and assuring that is as we walk through our life. Because as I've already explained, trouble's coming. We talked about that already in a couple sermons ago. You're going to go through life and we're all old enough to know that something's going to happen. It's going to shake us up. It's going to get better. We're going to keep living. Life goes on. But something happens, it's going to shake us up. Where are you going to turn? First, you trust in God, the author, perfecter, creator of all things. And then you can lean on this church, knowing that we're here for you. The family of God. Together. So, as we wrap up today, I offer the invitation to you. As I offer every week, even though I may not announce it as I am right now. If you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you feel like now is the time, are you waiting on? Do you want that assurance of God in your life? Do you want that assurance of heaven? Do you want that peace that comes that we talked about in Sunday school, that I can overcome all things because the Prince of Peace is on my side? He's forgiven me of all my sins. And do you really have a family that you can turn and go to and actually physically, tangibly talk with someone about what's going on in their life? This is God's plan A. And when we come together, there's so many great things we can do for the glory of God. So the invitation is, as we sing the song, if you feel as if God is calling in some way or another, and you feel like you need to respond, we ask you to do that. Let's continue and begin growing as a family for the glory of God, for everyone that we meet, wherever we go. Heavenly Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for the God that you are. You have shown yourself, you have proven yourself, you have allowed us to know you and be in relationship with you, and because of that, we want to continue to grow that relationship with other people in our lives. And Lord, we know that you call. And if you're calling right now, Lord, we pray that you quicken their feet, you open their hearts, and that you move as only you can in each one's life so that you can receive the glory, so that your church can be expanded, and that through them, other lives will be touched as well. You are a great God. And as we come before you, trust that you are accomplishing your will. We pray your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.